more temple IKEA. We got to fill now this beautiful new home we built with some kind of furniture. What is supposed to be in the Beis HaMikdash? So the Rambam concludes the first chapter after we have talked about the mitzvah, after we talked about temple basics, after we talk about the construction and the building methodology, after we talked about the time when it has to be built in, after we discussed the materials, the last thing we're going to talk about now is what occupies or what is placed into this home, holy home. So, Perek Aleph, Halacha Yudches, HaMenorah, the most famous temple artifact, the menorah, V'cheleha, and its accompanying utensils, V'hashulchan, and the golden table, which had the showbread on it, V'kelev, and it had a series of utensils that accompanied it as well. Mizbeach HaKtoiris, an altar, which was used for the sole purpose of incense, V'chol Klei HaShores, all of the artifacts or instruments or implements which we use for service in the Beis HaMikdash. Says the Rambam, all of these things, Ein Eisen, Eison, Elom, and Hamateches, Bilvad, all of them have to be crafted of metal. Only metal can be used. V'yemosu Eison, Shel Eitz, Oyetzen, if they're made of wood, or if they're made of bone, or even, or stone, or zechuchis, or glass, or crystal, psulin, they would be disqualified. Now many of you learn this halacha, you say, what do you mean? The Torah says, pure as gold. Well, the Rambam is telling us that that's not necessary. In order for it to be kosher, you don't have to have gold. That's the best way, the most ideal, most appropriate way to do it. Use the most precious metals, but it doesn't have to be, but it does have to be metal. In fact, during the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, when we experienced a temporary spiritual destruction, and the Greeks occupied the Beit HaMikdash and defiled it, everybody knows the story. The Hashmonaim, the brave Kohanim who defended our honor and our country and our faith, they re-entered the Beis HaMikdash on the 25th day of Kislev. What did they do? They lit a menorah. Yeah, what was the menorah made of? Couldn't be the gold menorah, because the gold menorah was defiled. So they hastily fashioned one of tin. It's got to be made of metal. Now, an obvious question is that we know from the Chumash that the table was made of acacia wood and was coated with metal. It had a metal plating on it. And the same is also true with regard to the smaller mizbeach that was used for the purposes of incense. So the Evan HaOzel explains, and he says, the meaning of you're not allowed to use glass or wood or bone is that it can't be revealed, can't be seen. So you can have, there can be, we can use wood underneath. Similarly, we learned last week that you can't have any exposed wood. You can only have stone or plaster or cement in the Beis HaMikdash. But we know as a fact that there were stone, wood structure within the stone. That's okay. As long as it's coated, as long as it's covered. The azara, the courtyard, the heichal, has to be made of stone. The utensils have to be made of metal. So what happens? Hayu hakohol aniyim. The congregation of Israel is poor. Eisen, eisen afilu shel bedil. Make it even of lead or of tin. Whatever comes to hand. V'im hashiru. But if everybody's living wealthy and the people are affluent, eisen, eisen shel zahav, then it has to be made of gold. And the Rambam says this is not only the important or visible utensils like the big artifact of the menorah or the showbread, but he says even the minor utensils that we used, afilu hamizrakes v'ashapudin, the mizrakes that were used at the time of the Beis HaMikdash were these vessels, the utensils that were used to accept the blood from the slaughtering of the korban. And then we have the shpudin, which were kind of like rakes or these long, give me a better word for it.
Like
an anvil, like irons, you know, poke around over there on the mizbeach.
Poker,
very good. Okay. So even if possible, even those should be made of gold. And that's, of course, gold provided. Gold.
But it's a miracle because 24 karat gold is like...
Understood. So you couldn't have an alloyed gold. But the point is to make it always of the finest material possible.
Right.
It's like... Lahavdil Elif Alfe Avdullah. It's like in Saudi Arabia, they have these gold faucets and gold toilets and so on and so forth. Chas v'shalom, I don't mean to make any corollary between the two. But my point I'm saying is when people have so much money, they don't know what to do with their money. Mm-hmm. That's how we should serve Hashem. We don't need to have gold faucets in our own home, We don't have to sit on a gold table, but when it comes to Hashem's home, we should be using every ounce of possibility to glorify and honor Hashem to the best of our ability.
The menorah that you say has to be made out of tin wouldn't be made out of gold.
No, of course the menorah would be made out of gold.
It was
the day of a battle.
Gold
was already defiled. They had to hastily fast the menorah. Probably had a half hour to make a menorah, right? So somebody who was somewhat adept with metal used the simplest form of metal they could. Of course it was made of gold. And the Rambam says, "Afilu sha'arei azara," even the doors of the outer courtyard, mechapen isam zov, should be coated in gold, im matzan yadim, if at all possible. And we know in the second base of Mikdash there were gold, the entire doors that were coated in heavy plates of gold, as part of our homage that we paid for our Kaddish Baruch Hu. Now, a final halacha about the artifacts, the vessels, the utensils, the furniture that was used in the Beis HaMikdash. Ein oisin kol hakelim mitchilason ela l'shem hegdash. All of the things that are used in the Beis HaMikdash have to be made from the beginning. The purpose of their crafting and fashioning and making has to be for the purpose of use in the Beis HaMikdash. V'im nasu mitchilason lehegyet, if it was made for a non-God purpose, meaning it was made for use of a person, even if he's the most prominent person in the world. Then that cannot be used for a holy and sacred purpose. What about something that was made for the Beis HaMikdash? And then we had too many of them. So you had these rakes, you had these cups, you had these pokers, and we don't know what to do with it. So the halacha is, actually, nishtamash behem gavaya, before it was used for the highest, loftiest purpose, rashoy lishtamash behem hedyot. Then the Beis HaMikdash could sell it. And you can get rid of these vessels, even though they were made for the express purpose of being used in the Beis HaMikdash. However, umishishtamesh bahen govoya, once it's used for the purpose of serving Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash, even once, but once it's used for that sacred purpose, asurim lehedyot. To use that for anything less would be an act of sacrilege and is expressly prohibited. Avodim v'kodesh shechatzovim mitchilu lebeis haknesses. This is an interesting question. Pillars. Large stones. Do you know that there are pillars in certain houses of worship in Yerushalayim today, which we believe actually come from the outer areas of the Beis HaMikdash?
Right.
We're pretty certain that's where it comes from. Well, we can't go in there and look at it, but we're pretty sure that's where it comes from. So, I mean, the pillars, the stones, once it's made, obviously, we're not allowed to use it for anything simple. But what if something like that was fashioned or made for a synagogue, for a Beis HaKnesses? It's built for a purpose of homage of God. Can you then use it for the Beis HaMikdash?
I think so.
Says Rambam, no. No. Ein b'inyan eisam b'harabayis. You can't even use it in the Temple Mount, even in the outer retaining wall. Why? Because it has to be made, crafted, and fashioned expressly for the purpose of serving our Kaddish Baruch Hu. Now, here's the interesting thing. It's self-understood that if something was used for a non-sacred holy purpose, even if it was made for a holy purpose, if somebody else used it, that would be disqualified. It would not be able to use it all. However, if it's metal and you melted the metal down, so you change its form entirely, then in that case, it would be permissible. And what's the proof? The Magen Avraham says a gewaldike proof. We know that Moshe Rabbeinu was uncomfortable accepting the mirrors that the women brought to make the kiyar v'kanei, to make the wash basin. So these were actual artifacts, the utensils. How did they use them? The answer is they melted them. They melted them into molten copper, and then when it was molten copper,
silver.
It was reformed. No, it was made of copper.
Oh,
it was reformed, yeah, copper mirrors. So the point would be then, once something is made for a non-sacred purpose, you can't use it in the Beis HaMikdash. And even in the event that it was made just, you know, kind of generic, you stop into IKEA and pick up a few mizrakas. Doesn't work. It has to be made for the Beis HaMikdash. And once something is used for another purpose, even if it was made for the Beis HaMikdash, can't be used in the Beis HaMikdash. That doesn't mean the matter is disqualified. It means the function in its present form will be disqualified. However, if we would be able to refurbish it, like metal that you can heat up, then in that case it will be permissible to use in Hashem's holy home. So now we have completed chapter 1. We know about the mitzvah. We know about the historical evolution of the mitzvah. We learned about the materials that are used. We learned about the temple basics. We learned about the altar. We learned about the stones. Now we've learned about the furniture. And from here, we'll start getting into the details. Shekoyach.